May the Lord help us to commence with hymn number 87, the second part. 87, part 2. Oh, the mysterious depths of grace, who shall thy wandering mazes trace, surpassing human thought to know, where this abyss of love shall flow. Hymn number 87, part 2.
We'll read together from God's holy word in the first book of the Kings, chapter 18. One Kings, chapter 18. We will begin at verse 17. Verse 17. And it came to pass, when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, Art thou he that troubleth Israel? And he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Baal. Now therefore send, and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the grove 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, and not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us two bullocks, and let them choose one bullock for themselves, and cut it in pieces, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock, and lay it on wood, and put no fire under. And call ye the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, It is well spoken. And Elijah said unto the prophets of Baal, Choose you one bullock for yourselves, and dress it first, for ye are many. And call on the name of your gods, but put no fire under. And they took the bullock which was given them, and they dressed it, and called on the name of Baal from morning even until noon, saying, O Baal, hear us. But there was no voice, nor any that answered. And they leaped upon the altar which was made. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them, and said, Cry aloud, for he is a god. Either he is talking, or he is pursuing, or he is in a journey, or peradventure he sleepeth, and must be awaked. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lancets, till the blood gushed out upon them. And it came to pass, when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice, nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, Come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And Elijah took 12 stones, according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, unto whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. And with the stones he built an altar in the name of the Lord. And he made a trench about the altar, as great as would contain 2 measures of seed. And he put the wood in order, and cut the bullock in pieces, and laid him on the wood, and said, Fill 4 barrels with water, and pour it on the burnt sacrifice and on the wood. And he said, Do it the second time. And they did it the second time. And he said, Do it the third time. And they did it the third time. And the water ran round about the altar. And he filled the trench also with water. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near. And said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord, and the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell, and consumed the burnt sacrifice, and the wood, and the stones, and the dust, and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces, and they said, The Lord, he is the God. The Lord, he is the God. And Elijah said unto them, Take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, Get thee up, eat and drink. There is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. And he cast himself down upon the earth and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, Go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked, and said, There is nothing. And he said, Go again 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time that he said, Behold, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, Go up, say unto Ahab, Prepare thy chariot, and get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rose and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. The Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and help us now to pray. Dear Lord, Almighty God in heaven above, once more we come before thy face, once more thy blessing ask. We pray, Lord, that we might each be given hearts to pray. Lord, not of formality, Lord, may it be those pouring out of our heart unto thee. May there be that real prayer in our prayers. Lord, do grant that we might come before Thee in humility, rightly confessing our sins. Lord, we have no goodness of our own to plead. Lord, help us to come just as we are with our woe, and to fall down at the feet of the Lamb. Lord, we do thank Thee for the throne of grace. We thank Thee for that wondrous love of the Lord Jesus, to bear the cross and the shame, that guilty sinners such as I might plead Thy gracious name. Lord, we plead for Thy mercy, for Jesus' sake. We plead for Thy presence and Thy help with us here this evening. We plead, Lord, for Thy blessing upon the service this morning. We ask for Thy forgiveness for anything wrong in Thy sight. And we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt bless Thine own word, Lord, that there might be that which shall remain in the hearts of those who hear. Lord, we do pray that there might be that work of Thy grace. There might be those brought out of darkness into light, out of unconcern into concern, and those who are brought to say humbly, in hope, the Lord is my God. Lord, we do pray that Thy work might yet appear. We pray, Lord, that the captive exile indeed might be loosed. The prodigals, Lord, might be caused to return. Lord, those who are indifferent, perhaps, Lord, that there might be that evidence of Thy work begun. Lord, that they begin to be in want. Lord, we do pray for Thy a blessing upon each one here. We pray for those unable to be with us, those who may be listening into this service. We pray, Lord, that Thy blessing might be upon us each. Lord, may it be a true day of rest unto us. Lord, may there be that entering in to that rest which remaineth in Christ for Thee, people of God. May it be our desire, our earnest hope, that we are found among them. Lord, we do pray for Thy blessing upon the Sunday school. Lord, we do pray for each of the children and the young people. We thank Thee for them. Lord, do teach them by Thy Spirit. Lord, lead them into Thy truth. And may they find Thee to be the God of their salvation. Lord, may they be kept from all the evils, from the deceitfulness of the world, from the temptations and allurements. Lord, we do pray that they might have that wall of fire round about, and indeed the glory in the midst. We pray for, Lord, the little ones, the babies. Lord, do help them and strengthen them as they develop. Lord, we do pray that for each of the little ones and the young ones, there might be that seed to serve thee. Those who in due time will call thee the Redeemer blessed. Those who were brought to come unto thee, who said, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, indeed, each of us, younger or older, or in the middle, Lord, do make us each as little children. Make us as a little child of our strength and wisdom spoiled, seeing only in thy sight, walking only in thy might. Lord, we pray for the young people with their choices and decisions, the various needs that they have as they go forth into life. Lord, do provide for them and guide them and direct them in all things. May it be in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Lord, we pray for the families, those in the midst of life with concerns in their family, concerns in their employment, and in the church, perhaps in their health, or with those that they love. Lord, thou knowest all the needs that we each have. Lord, we are all different, and we all have different pathways to walk. Lord, we do pray that we might each be found looking unto Jesus. Lord, to keep our eyes on Jesus' face, in there our hope to stay. Lord, keep us from being swallowed up with the things of this world, whether they are right or wrong. Lord, keep us from all that would keep us from thee. Lord, do give us strength and patience and wisdom equal to the day. Lord, give us grace and give us more grace, and grace upon grace. We pray, Lord, that we might be kept from bringing reproach on thy holy name. Lord, keep us from going astray. Keep us from wandering. Lord, we are prone to wander. Lord, left to ourselves we do. Lord, do keep us by thy power. We pray for those who are afflicted and those who know trials and difficulties, and those perhaps even today in the storm, the waves and the winds beating against them. Lord, may they shelter in that hiding place. Lord, may these things, as they come in our lives, be used for our real good. Lord, we pray for those who are older, those for whom their time cannot be long. Lord, it may not be long for younger ones also. Lord, we pray that as we see the day approaching, Lord, that we might consider our latter end. Lord, our years, our days, spent as a tale that is told. Lord, we do pray that we might redeem the time, for the days are indeed evil. Lord, we have evil, wicked hearts, desperately wicked, Lord, but we pray that we might know thy forgiveness. Do wash each one of us, Lord, in that fountain opened for unclean sinners. We do pray, Lord, that we might each have that hope in spite of our unworthiness in all thy mercy. Lord, we pray for the preaching of thy word throughout this land and in every part of the earth. Lord, thou knowest where thy people meet. We do pray that we might yet see thy return to Zion in mercy, that thy people might be built up. Do help each of thy servants who preach in thy name. Lord, we do pray for those especially who suffer persecution, and those who do not enjoy the freedom and liberty that we do. We pray, Lord, for those in missionary work. We pray for the work of the Mombasa Mission. Do grant thy help and thy blessing there. And do provide for them in all things. We pray, O Lord, for other organisations who seek to be a help to thy people, to publish thy word. And we do pray, O Lord, that all these things might be used of thee for thy honour and glory, for the building up of thy people. Lord, we pray that there might be that return in mercy to our sinful land. Lord, may there once more be a hunger for thy word, a love to thy word and to the gospel, a hunger for the preaching of it. Lord, may there be those gathered in, may it be so here and wherever thy people gather, those gathered in from the surrounding areas are brought to feel their needs. Lord, may they be blessed as they venture into thy house. Lord, those who meet in the causes of truth nearby, we do pray for thy blessing upon them. Lord, do likewise make thy work manifest there. Lord, we do pray that thou wilt remember in mercy our royal family, our King. Lord, do guide them and keep them. Lord, teach them by thy Spirit. May they, Lord, be brought to be a witness to thy truth and thy mercy. We pray for our Prime Minister and our Cabinet and Parliament. Lord, what can we say? What a sad state we are in. Lord, we have sown to the wind and reaped the whirlwind. Lord, we are not worthy of anything better. Lord, we do plead in thy mercy that thou wilt remember us. Raise up those in our government who fear thy name and will stand for what is right. We do thank thee for a few here and there who are unable to speak. Do help them and embolden them to continue. They might be faithful to thee. Lord, we think of the situation in Scotland. We do pray that this might be overruled. Lord, as we see those who follow thee set at naught. Lord, we should not be surprised at these things. Lord, help us. If these things come to us, help us by thy grace to stand. Lord, to help us each to endure unto the end, to not be ashamed of thee. Lord, we fear how it would be if persecution would come to us. Lord, may it be to stand fast in thee. Lord, we cannot do it any other way. Lord, we do pray that we might, those who fear thy name, be helped to continue in prayer, to continue in thy word, to continue in thee. Lord, we come now once more to thy word. Lord, how we need thy help. We do pray that thou wilt send thy spirit down. And may there be liberty in preaching. And may there be those open ears, understanding hearts to receive thy word. Lord, may it not be as the seed which falls on stony ground, that which is plucked up and carried away by the fowls of the air. Lord, may it enter in to ground prepared of thee. Lord, may we have cause to thank thee for thy great goodness. In spite of all our sin and failing, Lord, believing that the work is in thy hand, so, Lord, we fall into thy arms, and we do ask, Lord, for thy help to us each, and thy forgiveness for all that we have asked amiss, or forgotten to ask for. We ask, O Lord, to forgive our many sins, for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number one. Number one. Great God, how infinite art thou? What worthless worms are we? Let the whole race of creatures bow and pay their praise to thee. Hymn number one.
Thank you.
complete dependence upon the Lord for his help. We'd ask you to turn to the chapter that we read, 1 Kings chapter 18. And a few words from verse 21. How long halt ye between two opinions? 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him, not a word. What a question this is before us this evening. How long halt ye between two opinions? It's a solemn word, a solemn question, a searching question, or at least it ought to be. How long halt ye between two opinions? Elijah, speaking these words as the Lord's messenger, he spoke these words to the people, and what was their answer? Nothing. They answered him, not a word. I don't bring this text before you lightly this evening, but perhaps it's the Lord's message to one of you this evening. How long halt ye between two opinions? And what's your answer this evening? Before the eyes of a holy, heart-searching God. We don't know exactly why these people answered nothing, whether they were convicted by the question, whether they were confused, they didn't know the answer, whether they were afraid of offending Elijah or afraid of offending the prophets of Baal, but they had no answer to give. How long halt ye between two opinions? Firstly, to consider the context in this remarkable account that we have read. Before we come to this question, as so often in the Old Testament, the black with a background is very bleak. There is ungodliness, sin, wickedness. You go back to chapter 16, and there we have Ahab's father, Omri. He wrought evil in the eyes of the Lord and did worse than all before him. But what comes next? The reign of Ahab, and he was even worse. We read the same concerning Ahab. He began to reign over Israel and reigned 22 years and did evil in the sight of the Lord above all that were before him, even worse than his father. So there was that solemnity, that wickedness that abounded. At that time Ahab made a grove and did more to provoke the Lord God of Israel to anger than all the kings of Israel that were before him. But be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Lord God of Israel What does he say? There shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. There was a time of drought, and with that a time of famine. That time when we read of Elijah by the brook Cherith, and even that little brook dried up. And so, as we come to this chapter, chapter 18, after many days, and we wonder what must have taken place in those many days, many troubles, many hardships. Elijah, the word of the Lord came to him in the third year, "Go, show thyself unto Ahab, and I will send rain upon the earth." It was a sore famine in Samaria. And then we have this godly man, Obadiah, in the midst of all this wickedness, even in the house of wicked King Ahab, the governor of his house, Obadiah. And what a testimony. Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. What a witness in the midst of such ungodliness. That one who hid 100 prophets, took 100 prophets, hid them by 50 in a cave, and fed them. In spite of the great risk to his own life, but he had a love to the Lord and a love to his people. But we have the account that we did not read earlier of Obadiah and Elijah meeting. And Elijah speaking to Obadiah and sending him to meet Ahab. And Obadiah, with all his fears, he said, "Will Ahab not slay me?" Elijah said, "I will surely show myself unto him this day." So Obadiah went to meet Ahab, and Ahab went to meet Elijah. And so begins the part of this chapter that we read. And there's another question that Ahab asked to Elijah. "Art thou he that troubleth Israel?" What a wicked man Ahab was, who we read earlier in the midst of the drought and the famine, was going around with Obadiah looking for water, but not for his people, but for his beasts, his flocks and his herds. And then he comes to the man of God, Elijah, and he blames him for all this trouble. Elijah, and what boldness he is given to stand before this great but wicked king. "I have not troubled Israel, but thou and thy father's house." And what's the reason for it all? And what's the reason for this trouble? "Ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord. And thou hast followed Balaam. Thou hast followed the idols of Baal. Now therefore, send and gather to me all Israel." And so, gathered together at Mount Carmel, we have the 450 prophets of Baal. And the 400 prophets of the groves. It seems that those 400 prophets of the groves did not remain. We read nothing of them in the remainder of the chapter. These 450 prophets of Baal gathered together with Elijah unto Mount Carmel. Elijah, he felt to be alone. One against 450. But you know, amongst the multitude of the people that gathered there, there were three different categories, we might say. There were those who served Baal. There were the prophets of Baal. There were those who had no interest. Rather, they rejected the true and living God. Then you have Elijah, the one who feared the Lord and feared the Lord greatly as Obadiah did. But this question is addressed to the third category, to those that we might say who were somewhere in the middle. How long halt ye between the two opinions? Those who, as it were, at times feared the Lord, who at times outwardly perhaps seemed to serve him, at other times they served Baal. So there is this question. It's a separating question. If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And just to consider how this sign was sent from heaven of the almighty power of God, you notice how Elijah makes this a proposal, if you will, that they will make a sacrifice. They will take two bullocks. And you know how Elijah, he leaves these 450 prophets of Baal to choose so much how they are to go about this sacrifice, so that they might not blame Elijah if they thought they had been put in an unfair position. And Elijah, he tells them what to do. Call ye on the name of your gods, plural, and I will call on the name of the Lord, and the God that answereth by fire, let him be God. And all the people agreed. They said, it's well spoken, it's a good word. They were confident, these prophets of Baal. They worshipped Baal, the sun god, the one who could send fire, so they thought. But Elijah, he worshipped, he followed, he served the one true and living God. And so we see the scenes of these prophets of Baal, pathetically almost, calling upon Baal. O Baal, hear us. O Baal, answer us. But there was no voice. There was no voice, nor any that answered. And they cried all day, and still no answer. And they leaped upon the altar. They cried aloud. Elijah mocked them. They cut themselves, and still there was nothing. And so it is with all idols, all false gods, and no answer. It's a wonderful thing, the difference. Elijah, he called upon his God. He humbly approached him, and the true and living God sent that answer and displayed his mighty power. Elijah restored the altar of the Lord. He put the wood in order. He filled the barrels with water, poured it on the sacrifice, on the wood, filled up the trench. He made it, we might say, naturally an impossibility that a fire could ever start and burn that sacrifice. But with God nothing shall be impossible. And it came to pass that Elijah draws near and says, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things at thy word. As Elijah sought to follow the Lord, he sought to stand against the false gods, the prophets of Baal, those who had forsaken the commandments of the Lord. He called upon his God. What a difference When they called upon Baal, hear us, answer us. And nothing. No answer, because there was no one to hear. There was no one to answer. When Elijah called upon the true and living God, hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the sacrifice. You know, it's very striking. There's no exaggeration in the word of God, but the detail and the lengths that we see here in which the fire fell from heaven. It wasn't just the bullock that was burnt up, but the wood also, and the stones, and even the dust, and even the water. To us we'd say it's impossible to burn up the stones and the dust and the water. It licked up the water that was in the trench. The Lord showed forth his power, and the people fell on their faces, they fell under it. They had to confess, the Lord, he is the God, not Baal. And the prophets of Baal had to be slain. They went down to the brook Kishon and slew the prophets of Baal, not one of them escaped. You know how solemn. To come to our end and not be trusting in the true and living God, the Lord God of Elijah, the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. How solemn if we come to the end and we are left to perish without a hope, without having really, truly called upon the Lord God of Israel. And the question to those who were, we might say, halting, those who at one time thought one thing, at one time they followed Baal, and other times they sought to follow the Lord. You know, when we think of halting, we think of perhaps a lame man who goes from one side to the other. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long will ye seek to serve God and mammon? We are told very clearly that we cannot serve God and mammon. Ye, I think we have it in one of the Gospels concerning this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. No man can serve two masters, because the commandments of each are directly contradictory. No man can serve two masters. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Well, perhaps there is one here this evening, and you're trying to serve God and mammon. You're trying, as it were, to follow the law, but you're trying to keep one foot in the world. This is a separating word. The people had to choose whom they would serve. And you know, I want to speak very carefully. That choice. You say, what's that? Is that not free will? What about election? You know, there isn't any contradiction. All those in whom the Lord has a purpose of mercy will choose to follow him, but only as they are given that grace. The chosen of him ere time began, I'll choose him in return. Left to ourselves, none of us would choose the things of God. Left to ourselves, we would all seek to follow our idols and to serve mammon, the indulgence of the world and worldliness. We would seek to be satisfied with earthly things, to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You cannot serve God and mammon. We have that word in Joshua, choose you this day whom you will serve. Really the same words that we have here. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long have you been halting between two opinions for a long time? Have you been seeking to follow the law but walking in disobedience? I say it lovingly and carefully. How long halt ye between the two opinions? You know those two words that begin our text. How long? Here we have, I think it's in Exodus, those words again, where the Lord says, concerning their disobedience, and this is when the manna was given, and there was a specific command of what they were to do. They were to gather on the 6 days, but not the seventh. And it came to pass that there went out some of the people on the seventh day to gather. You say, well, they've just been told not to. Why were they so disobedient? But what about us? What is there that we have before us in the Lord's commandments? The Lord has told you perhaps to do something, and you go and do the opposite. We mentioned Jonah this morning. The Lord told him to go one way, and he went the other. You know, he had to be brought back. That's the Lord's mercy. They went out on the seventh day, and the Lord said to Moses, what does the Lord say? And perhaps it's a word for you. How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? How long? How long will you refuse? How long will you disobey me? How long will ye try to go your own way? How long will you continue to think you know best? How long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You know, thinking of this word, I can't help but bring before you that outward profession, following the Lord, taking up your cross and following him. How long refuse ye to obey my commandments? How long halt ye between two opinions? What does the Lord say? If ye love me, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Do you love the Lord? And are you keeping his commandments? His commandments are not grievous. If ye love me, keep my commandments. It comes to my mind. And you know, it may not be concerning baptism, it may be concerning some other step. The Lord is told you what you are to do, how you are to proceed, and you're halting between two opinions. You can't go one way or the other. You know, we read in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel concerning the Lord Jesus calling his disciples. In chapter 1, verse 16, as they walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew casting a net, for they were fishers. And Jesus said, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. You know, I speak to myself, I'm not throwing any stones this evening at any of you. How often with us it's not straightway, it's delay, it's dither, it's not yet, it's perhaps another time. Straightway they forsook their nets. This wasn't them being rash, this wasn't them being careless, this was immediate obedience to the clear commandment of the Lord. The Lord had said very simply, come ye after me. He had told them to follow, and straight away they left everything and followed. In other places we read they left there. Rather it's in the following verses. They'd gone a little further. James, John, they were mending their nets. They were in their occupation. And straightway he called them, and they left their father and the ship. They left everything they had, and they went after him. And do you think they regretted it? Do you think they wished later they had not followed their Lord and Master? How long halt ye between two opinions? One is your Master, even Christ. You read through that chapter, Mark chapter 1. You know, it speaks of things that are done quickly, done straight away, done without delay. You know, we ought to consider these things. How is it with us? Following the Lord's commandments, following him in the despised ordinances, following him, seeking to be numbered amongst thee, the poor, afflicted, the despised people of God. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Is there that love stirred up in your hearts? You think of that question that the Lord spoke to Peter, Simon Peter. Yes, that one who had denied him. With oaths and curses, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Another question for you this evening. The Lord says, lovest thou me? What's your answer? If ye love me, keep my commandments. How long halt ye between two opinions? How long refuse ye to obey my commandments? And so the people here, we wonder what the effect of this question was. There was that separation to be brought out from all that they had hoped in before, to be brought out from their lukewarmness. How long halt ye between two opinions? You know, we have before us here the true and living God and idols, false God, false religion. The first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You say, well, we don't have idols, we don't do that anymore, but this doesn't apply to us. Well, it does. We each have our idols. We each have those things that come before the holy God. We each have those things that we, left to our sinful hearts, would serve instead of the true and living God. And left to ourselves, we follow after these idols. The word of God could not be more emphatic. Thou shalt have no other gods. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them or serve them. For I, the Lord, thy God, am a jealous God, a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. There is but one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I choose you this day whom you will serve. It comes to my mind again. We're back in Exodus again. We're back with the poor backsliding, the people of God who kept on falling, kept on turning away. And I think it's in Exodus chapter 32 we have the people melting down their gold to make a calf, making another god. The Lord said to Moses, who was on the mount, Sinai, get thee down. The people which thou broughtest out of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly in the way, out of the way which I commanded them, and have made them a molten calf, and have sacrificed and said, these be thy gods. How could it be so? How much they had seen of the Lord's goodness, how much of his wondrous works they had seen, and yet they turn back to their idols. Moses pleads the Lord for his mercy. And Moses, he came down from the mount. He saw the people dancing to this calf. And he was angry. He threw down the tablets. And he says, he stood in the gate of the camp and he said, who is on the Lord's side? Let him come unto me. There again, the separation. Those who were on the Lord's side and those who wanted to continue with their idols. What about you? What have we to do any more with idols? We need to be kept. We need that separation. When we are left to ourselves, we are no better than these. When we seek to make other gods, but who is on the Lord's side? What a question for us this evening. Another solemn searching question. Who is on the Lord's side? You know, we can't leave that account there. Moses said, you have sinned a great sin. Now I will go up unto the Lord. Peradventure, I shall make an atonement for your sin. And he confessed the sins of the people. And he sought the Lord for his forgiveness. You know, it takes me back to the text I tried to preach from here for the first time over a year ago. David, Nathan, I have sinned. The Lord also hath put away thy sin. The mercy that we see in the gospel for repenting sinners. How long halt ye between two opinions? Just one more thing, then I'll leave it. It struck me as we read 37, verse 37 of this chapter. Hear, O Lord, hear me, that this people that may know that thou art the Lord, the God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. Those of you who have been brought to fear the Lord and to trust in his name, do you not find to your sadness that left to yourself you can return like the dog to his vomit, like the sow that walloweth in the mire? They have returned. Let them hear, Lord, that they may know that thou art the Lord and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And perhaps one of you this evening needs your heart to be turned back. Your love to the Lord has grown cold. You mourn your stubborn will. You mourn the hardness of your heart. You have to wonder, did you ever love at all? It comes to my mind, one of those hymns, and those who are tried and tempted, if they know, they have known anything of the Lord's love, now it all seems so distant, now it seems so far off. And once again they have to cry, not for the first time, do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? All within is dark and vain and wild. Sin is mixed with all I do. But you know, what does that hymn say? That could I joy his saints to meet, choose the ways I once abhorred, find at times the promise sweet if I did not love the Lord. But then it's this, should I grieve for what I feel if I did not love at all? May it be the prayer of each of us, let me love thee more and more. If I love at all, I pray. How long halt ye between two opinions? Well, as I say, I shrank from trying to preach from this word. I wouldn't want you to think that there is any self-will, free will in this word whatsoever. I wouldn't want you at all to think that I myself can bring that desire to follow the Lord. It's the Lord's work alone. But may it be a message from heaven for one or more of you. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. And as the hymn says, follow him without delay. May the Lord forgive anything amiss. Amen.
God willing, there will be a meeting of the Chapel Trustees tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. Mr. Roland Wheatley is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. And next Lord's Day, there will be a prayer meeting for the nation at 9 o'clock. And Mr. Jonathan Buss is engaged to preach to us. And our friends at Fen Stanton hold their anniversary services next Saturday, God willing. Let us close with hymn number 61. 'Twas fixed in God's eternal mind when his dear Son should mercy find. From everlasting he decreed when every good should be conveyed. Hymn number 61.
Dear Lord, we do ask for thy forgiveness for all amiss in our worship here this day. And Lord, do follow with thy blessing. We pray that thy word might remain with us. And Lord, may we each be among those that follow after righteousness, that follow after Christ. Lord, keep us from ourselves. Keep us from the sin and wickedness of our hearts. Lord, draw us after thyself. Lord, do watch over us each as we go on our way. Help us in the week we have now begun. Lord, go before us in all things. Lord, in the journey of life, grant that we might each one be in that narrow way. We pray, Lord, that we might be each of us among the few that find it. So, Lord, remember us each in mercy. Accept of our thanks for all thy goodness and so many mercies. And forgive us, Lord, for all our sins. So many sins, we ask for Jesus' sake. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with us all. Amen.